got his horse or can't talk tonight, so it's just going to be a Todd Talks. We have Scott Speaks, and now we have Todd Talks. We may have, I've done a solo pod before, but it's just going to be me on the mic tonight. I wanted to start off by wishing everyone a happy holiday season. It is a week before Thanksgiving. The latest Thanksgiving can be, I think, or close to it. So we have a shortened shopping season this year. And I only mention this because I've noticed there are a lot of Black Friday deals that have come out a week before Thanksgiving, which is interesting. Obviously, the retailers want to make sure people are still getting their shopping in. So if you have gifts to buy for loved ones, I guess you should be doing that. What else is going on? For the jazz heads out there, I have been listening. I just received it today. I think it just came out today. The Joe Henderson and McCoy Tyner Forces of Nature Live at Slugs 2 LP on Blue Note. It's quite good. It was recorded in 66 at the famous Slugs Jazz Club in New York City. Has Henry Grimes on bass and Joe DiGiannetti on drums. Fairly early in their careers, but yeah. It's got some really long sort of... allows the players to really expand on some of their well-known songs. There's In and Out, which is an album from Joe Henderson. That there's a version of In and Out that takes the whole first side of the first record. It's a 2 LP set. So if you're looking for some new hard bop jazz to listen to, well, not new, new old stock of hard bop jazz, I would recommend that. I've listened to only the first record so far. I started the second one, but got interrupted by life and other things. But yeah, you can get that now from your local record store, which I would recommend you going and visiting. You can go now, or you can wait until the Black Friday record store day. Yeah, I'll just wax poetic here about record store day. How do I feel about record store day? I mean, I love that it's getting people to go to record stores. There, apparently it started at the Baltimore Soundgarden, which is a record store in Baltimore, obviously. Not too far from me. I believe they claim to be the originators of Record Store Day, or at least one of the co-founders. And, yeah, I think, obviously, it's great to get people out shopping at independent record stores. The stuff that they release is kind of hit and miss for me for Record Store Day. There's always stuff that I'm interested in. But I know at least at the Soundgarden, it's ridiculous. You get there early and then you wait in line for hours to then be able to shop. The way they have it, they have all their stuff laid out and you sort of go through one at a time, so you can be standing in line for a couple of hours, and then you get to sort of walk through the line and shop. So typically, if I shop on Record Store Day, I'll go just later in the day when the line has died down, or go someplace that doesn't have quite such a long line. But it's cool to hang out with other vinyl lovers and do that sort of thing. I haven't actually looked at the Black Friday Record Store Day list this year. So I'm sure there's some good stuff coming, but I don't know, you know, what the highlights would be for me. They always have all genres, all stuff. So if you like music, I'm sure there's something that interests you. I'm just scrolling the list now. Nothing's jumping out of it. If you want to get the 2LP Better Than Ezra Deluxe is the title, that's going to be available. I'm sure nobody wants that. Sorry, Better Than Ezra. I forget what their song was. There's a Bill Evans Trio title, because there always is. Elemental coming in, always getting the Bill Evans stuff out there. But yeah, check it out. Again, Thanksgiving and Black Friday sort of going hand in hand, obviously, as they do every year. Scott's gonna listen to this and be like, "Shut the fuck up, Todd." Anyway, let's see. I wanted to read some silly news because I used to do that with my friend Ricky on his radio show, and I enjoyed doing it. So, just some of the wacky headlines from the AP. The winner of the Jeremy Allen White lookalike contest was crowned in Chicago. Jeremy Allen White, of course, the lead character from The Bear. More than 50 contestants turned out on Saturday in a Chicago park to compete in a lookalike contest vying to portray actor Jeremy Allen White, star of Chicago-based television series The Bear. Beyond the renown of being named White's unofficial body double, the winner walked away with $50 and a pack of cigarettes in recognition of the puff-prone character White plays in the series. Carmi Berzato, a young award-winning chef. On the show, the character is sometimes referred to as Bear, and the chef had dreams of owning a fine dining restaurant that would carry that name, which he does open in the show if you've watched it. I would say, looking at this fellow, I mean, he's got kind of scraggly hair. He looks a little bigger, like more muscular than Jeremy Allen White, based on my recollection. As hundreds looked on and cheered, the prize went to 37-year-old mental health therapist Ben Shabbat. "This is the coolest thing I've done all week," said Shabbat, who was hoisted into the air in the middle of the crowd, perched upon his head, the pack of cigarettes clutched in one hand. Most of the wannabe doppelgangers were white men, but some women and people of color got in on the fun, the newspaper said. There was even a toddler lookalike. Oh, isn't that cute? So, yeah, that's definitely a stupid news story. let's see, what else do we have? Sorry for my clearing my throat. I can't do my cough button because I'm the only one talking. I don't know if you heard, but there was a experimental lab that I assume tortures monkeys in South Carolina, from which monkeys escaped, which I think they have several times from what my wife told me. Six monkeys were still on the loose early Monday after dozens escaped earlier this month from South Carolina compound that breeds the primates for medical research. Two rhesus macaques were trapped Sunday, I don't know how you say that, outside the Alpha Genesis facility. Alpha Genesis. Could you pick a more on-the-nose, like, evil corporation name than Alpha Genesis? The CEO, Greg Westergaard, said in a statement, "Both monkeys were recaptured Sunday, were examined, and were in excellent condition," who was presented when they were, said Westergaard, who was present when they were recovered. "I can attest with absolute certainty that their spirits were high and they showed all the outward signs of being happy, well-adjusted monkeys," he said. "We are very pleased that the animals recovered thus far in such good condition and show no ill effects from their outdoor adventure." Yeah, of course not. They're fucking wild animals. All the monkeys taken back to the compound have been fed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and monkey biscuits, which are a high-protein Purina monkey chow. I cannot believe there's Purina monkey chow. "That especially formulated for the rhesus macaques," Westergaard said. Two other monkeys are spotted near the traps Sunday afternoon, and Alpha Genesis plan to begin trapping efforts before dawn Monday and continue through the day. 43 monkeys made a break for it at November 6th after an employee at what locals call the monkey farm did not fully lock their enclosure. Oh, you can't fool the monkeys. They know. They know if you're doing a shit job locking them up. So good for them. Get out, monkeys. Raise hell. Westergaard said it appears the worker made a mistake and did not intentionally leave the gates where the monkeys could escape. Yeah, no shit. Because he probably got fired. The monkeys are about the size of a cat. They're all females, weighing about 7 pounds. On Monday, a group called Stop Animal Exploitation Now sent another letter to federal officials asking for fines and further inspection of Alpha Genesis for animal mistreatment. A letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture said a monkey was found dead with its head stuck in a fence and a second strangled in gauze used to secure water bottles. Yikes. The letter also details several earlier escapes, including one where a monkey had its arm ripped off and another had its arm broken by a tranquilizer dart. God, this is terrible. So obviously, animal research, not down with that. South Carolina, generally not down with that, despite having lived there for all of my childhood, or most of it. Yeah, South Carolina, kind of a dump. I mean, there's beautiful places and wonderful people there, but smiling faces, beautiful places, South Carolina. That was their tagline. Let's see. Any other interesting news? A Spanish court slaps a supermarket that fired a worker for eating a croquette. Spanish court has upheld a ruling that a supermarket worker was unlawfully fired for having eaten a croquette that was going to be thrown away after having not been sold from the store's deli selection. It's a real George Costanza vibe here. The worker was fired in July 2023 after he had snarfed down the fried snack, which was destined for the trash after the store had closed for the day. The company's policy is that workers are prohibited from consuming any product found in the store without having paid for it previously, but the Superior Court found that it was common practice for workers to snack on, quote, ready-to-eat food. Products that were going to be thrown away after closing hours. In its ruling, it also insisted the important detail that the worker didn't eat an entire package of croquettes, but instead one single croquette that was not going to be put back on sale the following day. Well, so I guess logic still somewhat persists in Spain. Yeah. Let's see, what are you guys watching out there? I just have started season 2 of Silo, a sci-fi show that I enjoyed the first season of. So it's, I would say the first episode was a little slow, but it's a well-made show. It's sci-fi about people living basically in an underground silo and sort of fearing what's happening on the outside world, and they've sort of created a mythos or religion about sort of their origins and what they can and can't do. And of course that leads to some ne'er-do-wells or heroes, depending on your point of view, questioning the system and looking to expand their worldview. But yeah, second season just started. The second episode of the second season just dropped today. So check it out if you enjoy sci-fi. I mean, it's not like super sci-fi-y. It's just sort of feels a post-apocalyptic world. But yeah, it's well done. All right. I'm not going to go for a super long time, but I did want to do some of everyone's favorite segment tonight, the Deer Tods. So I pulled up several Dear Abby letters to see how terrible a job she did giving these people advice. So the first one, couple doesn't see eye to eye on opposite sex friendships. Dear Todd, my boyfriend Mac and I come from two different worlds. I am from Europe, but have been living in the U.S. for 15 years. I have many friends, male and female, and make a point of staying in touch with them. Mac is Native American and believes that in a relationship, your partner should be the only opposite sex person you spend time with. He doesn't want me to be in touch with any of my male friends, no lunch meetings to catch up, and no occasional email, text, or call to check in. These are all platonic relationships with guys who share similar interests. Fucking, no, that doesn't say that. Most of them have wives or girlfriends I get along with well. Mac thinks his manhood is insulted because he should be enough for me. He was cheated on in the past. I never have been, so I can't relate. Am I being unfair, rude, or insensitive by wanting to keep my friends? Abby replies, this is friendly female Nevada. Abby replies, not at all, but you must recognize that your boyfriend has some deep-seated insecurities, and until he is willing to work on them, he will continue trying to control those with whom you keep in contact. You are correct that the two of you come from two different worlds, and I'm not talking about geography. If this is what you're willing to tolerate in the long run, continue your romance with Mac. If not, then it's time for you to make the choice to end it. This is actually a decent response from Abby, although I don't think she's gone far enough. This guy's clearly a fucking psychopath. You can't have any male friends but him. First of all, Mac, let her have some other friends, man. It'll make your life easier. Jesus. He really is butthurt about her just hanging out with any other people, but I would say this is ridiculous. You should definitely dump the motherfucker already, to use the, what's his name? The columnist, Savage Love columnist, Dan Savage. Yeah, that guy sounds like a real loser. You should ditch him unless you enjoy being treated like shit. All right, let's read another. Unborn daughter will be taught to ignore grandpa's old ideas. Ooh, this sounds like a comment. These are all from 2015. Dear Abby, over the years, I have come to realize that my father-in-law is condescending toward women. There's a lot of women hating in the Dear Abby column, I've noticed. I don't know if it's her audience or just the letters she picks out. He expects his wife to do all the cooking, cleaning, and housework despite the fact that she has a demanding full-time job and doesn't work, and he doesn't work outside the home. Wow, this guy's sounds like a real deadbeat. Jesus, there's a theme here. When we go to dinner over there, it's expected that the women will clean up and do the dishes while the men sit and talk at the table. I have never seen him lift a finger to help, and he frequently makes demeaning comments about his wife's cooking, among other things. He considers himself an expert on everything and frequently interrupts people, mostly women, to prove he, quote-unquote, knows better. His behavior is rude, and I am offended by it. I am pregnant with my first child, a daughter, and I'm concerned about her growing up in this atmosphere. I don't want her raised thinking that men know better and that women are supposed to wait on men. My husband doesn't want to confront his father over this. How do we handle this situation? From first-class citizen in Florida. Shocking that it's from Florida. Abby's response, Dear First Class, it appears your husband is as cowed by his father as your mother-in-law or this wouldn't be happening. He could have put a stop to it years ago by simply getting up from the table and helping you and his mom clear the dishes while his dad kept himself company. If you prefer your little girl not grow up in an atmosphere like this, see less of your in-laws. Be sure to tell your mother-in-law why. And if you must subject your daughter to her grandfather's presence, point out to her that Gramps acts this way because his thinking is outdated. Explain that it is his attempt to make himself feel important, even if he isn't. Oh, spicy response from Abby. I think I usually give my response first, so sorry, I should do the Dear Todds. Yeah, I think you need to tell if your husband's not going to confront him, and I understand. It's family situations are hard. It's your parents are sometimes challenging to tell them to shut the fuck up, even if they need to hear it. But yeah, if he's not willing to do it, maybe you should. And then he'll say, I don't want to see you anymore, and problem solved. But yeah, keep your daughter as far away from this asshole as you can. Let's see. Let's move on to another date. Oh, this one, lovely headline. Mama shoes, baby habit of baby teething on friend's fingers. Wah, 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 wah. Nice little pun there. Dear Todd, a friend I really like has been extremely helpful babysitting my four-month-old son every once in a while. The problem is, she informed me that she rubs his gums and lets him chew on her fingers. I find this gross and strange, because it is. Clean fingers or not, I prefer she not do this. She only has him a couple hours at a time, and he has teething toys. Am I overreacting? If not, how do I politely inform my friend that I'd rather she not put her fingers in my baby's mouth? I can't think of a way to explain it that wouldn't offend her. Well, Todd's response, I'll do mine first, would be, yeah, you should definitely tell your friend that you think this is weird. You could play it off and say, yeah, you know, we don't shove our fingers in children's mouths where I come from, so it's sort of a cultural thing if you could not do that. But I think just being direct with her and saying, listen, this is gross and weird. Please stop putting your fingers in my child's mouth. I know it might help in the short term, but it's going to cause problems in the long term because we're worried the kid might suck his fingers. And it's just not something we want to do. We'd really like you to stop. So, oh, of course, Abby disagrees with me. Dear Off Limits, what your friend is doing is neither gross nor strange. She was probably trying to soothe your teething baby who was showing signs of discomfort. That is not how I read that. Her fingers may have been more comfortable to chew on than the hard toy. However, you are the parent. If you prefer no more fingers in your baby's mouth, you should tell your friend and she shouldn't take offense. Yeah, I think it's weird. I would agree with the second part of Abby's response, but not the first. Let's see. Catholic hospitals value lives of mother and child. Ooh, this is like a follow-up letter. Wait, where'd it go? Sorry, there's a lot of ads that keep popping up in here. Not surprising. Dear Todd, you printed a letter from a woman, November 25th. Again, this is from 2015. Whose husband told her while she was pregnant that if it came to a choice, he would choose the life of a baby over hers. Wow. God, again, all these guys are fucking assholes. Your response contained a piece of misinformation I would appreciate you correcting for your readers. You asserted that it's Catholic policy to save the life of the baby over the mother in obstetrical emergencies. Abby, that is one of the oldest but most persistent pieces of misinformation out there. Who gives a shit? Who cares what the Catholic policy is? Sorry, I'm just going to skip that one. No one cares. Mom worries that kids get attention only for their looks. Dear Todd, all children are beautiful to their parents. My three children are of mixed race and get a lot of attention because of it. The boys are aloof about random compliments they receive from strangers. However, I'm worried about the pressure it may put on my daughter to be pretty. I care more about my daughter's character than her looks, but I'm concerned that if I say that to these people, it will come off as rude. Also, I don't want her to think I don't think she's pretty. That's a very awkwardly worded sentence. How can I respond in a way that isn't rude to well-intentioned strangers, but at the same time allows me to make a statement about the importance of character over beauty? From Moms of Beauties. Well, dear Moms of Beauties, Todd would say, if people are making those comments, you can always redirect them and say, yes, she is lovely, but we are really proud of her academic skills, her character, her steadfastness, her loyalty. If it's a persistent issue with one person, I think you could bring it up with them and say, listen, this is something that we are trying to steer away from because while looks are nice to have, like they are fleeting and we don't want our kids to be focused on that. Let's see what Abby has to say. Dear Mom, when someone exclaims your child is beautiful, accept the compliment and say something like this. Yes, my child is beautiful, but more importantly, she is beautiful on the inside. God, don't say that. I mean, say a version of that, but not that. It will reinforce the message to your daughter that character is equally, if not more important than physical beauty. All right, let's jump over to one more timeline and wrap up these Dear Todds. This is from 2016, moving ahead in time. Wife resists husband's dream of retiring to warmer climes. Dear Todd, I'm 57 and been married for 25 years. My husband has retired and is ready for me to do the same. I enjoy my work and I'm delaying my retirement because he wants to move to another state. Ooh, passive aggressive in Florida. Let's see. Abby, all I can think about is how I will be forced to start all over with a new church, new doctors, new friends. God, this lady is old. That's incredibly stressful for me, and I don't want to do it. It takes a while to warm up to people, and I don't do it easily. To me, it would not be an exciting adventure. I have told him I don't want to do this and why. He responds that if I want to visit my friends, I can always hop on a plane. But he's tired of the cold and wants to move. All I can think about is having to sell our home, buy another one, learn a new area, make friends, find a new church. I have all of that here. Maybe he should be a snowbird from Don't Want to Start Anew. I mean, it seems like the obvious compromise here from Don't Want to Start Anew is, can you guys actually be snowbirds? Live in a warmer climate. I mean, a lot of people do this, retirees, live in a warmer climate in the winter and then hang out in your current home in the summer. I mean, if that's financially not possible, talk to your husband about it. Say, explain your concerns. And if he's an asshole, like every other man in all these letters, he'll probably say, fuck off, I don't care. But you should at least make your opinion known so he knows why you're pissed off that you moved to this new place that doesn't have your church. I mean, I think I would say every single Dear Abby letter is about people not communicating stuff. Let's see what Dear Abby has to say. Dear Don't Want, if you and your husband can afford two places, perhaps you should both be snowbirds. Oh, shit. Abby coming in with the same advice as me. This is so easy to give these people advice because they're the dumbest people in the world. It couldn't hurt to rent a place for a few months to see what life would be like in a new community. That's what I recommend to readers who contemplate on making a drastic change, such as relocation, in their lives. If you do that, you might find that the natives, oof, That has not aged well. Are friendly and the community is congenial. However, that's not the case. It could help you to avoid making a costly mistake. All right, let's jump through a couple more of these Abby hoops, and then I'll let you go. Alcoholic husband's cruelty extends to even to family cat. God, no, I can't read about these fucking assholes. How about this one? This sounds more fun. Coworker lied to get time off at Christmas. Dear Todd, I work in a large medical facility that relies on nurses to attend every shift they are assigned. Last Christmas, a nurse I know called in saying her father had died. The thing is, I've known her for years, and her father has been dead as long as I've known her. Would it be snitching to tell my supervisor what I know? Shorthanded in New England. Dear shorthanded, mind your own fucking business, would be my advice. Let's see. Abby has to say, yes, it would, but it wouldn't be snitching to inform the nurse that lying to get out of work is not only unfair to the rest of you, but also unprofessional. Yeah, don't be such a buzzkill, shorthanded. I mean, you can also use this to, like, lie yourself. I mean, I'm sure she's a upstanding person that doesn't want to do that, but take advantage here. Don't actually do that. I'm joking. Let's see. Teen directs increasing anger towards his mother and sister. Oh, we have a fledgling asshole growing up, it sounds like. Dear Todd, I'm afraid something is wrong with my younger brother. He's just turned 13 and he's become violent and angry. Before, he used to tease me and our sister once in a while, but now it's becoming an everyday thing. If we tease him back, he gets mad and starts yelling. He directs most of his anger at our younger sister and our mom, and has started to push my mom. She's worried that he might hurt one of us. If she confronts him when he gets out of hand, he starts yelling, "What? I didn't do anything. Ugh." It doesn't say "up," but I added that. Then later he'll come back and try to push or kick her. I have noticed that he talks to himself too. We don't know what to do. We hear how kids sometimes harm their families. I'm afraid for my mom and my sister, but also for my brother. I love him and want to help him. Afraid in Arizona. So my advice would be this. I mean, there's a lot of teenage angst and stuff, but getting violent is not okay. So I would encourage your mom to have him checked out at the doctor. You can make it just as a regular doctor's appointment and express her concerns privately to the doctor and maybe get him some therapy, because it sounds like he's got some anger issues. There's no mention of the father, so I don't know if he has some misplaced resentment to an absent father. Even if he doesn't, it sounds like he's being violent. That's not okay. So confronting him, I wouldn't encourage, since it seems to trigger him. But yeah, getting professional help. And Abby has to say, dear Afraid, if you want to help your brother, talk to your mother about getting professional help. Yes, of course. Again, these are so easy. Now, before he hurts someone, he should be evaluated to determine whether his problem is anger management or the onset of a mental illness. His pediatrician can refer her to a licensed mental health professional. Blah, 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 blah. If he doesn't have one, you can get free help, which is good advice. Yes, if someone is showing violent tendencies, don't feel like you have to take that on yourself. Get some help. All right, we'll do one more. That's a cheery one. Cancer patient welcomes her death and wishes everyone else would too. Dear Todd, I have terminal cancer and 5 to 7 year life expectancy despite undergoing intense chemotherapy. I've accepted this and will not undergo further treatment. I eagerly await death. Oh God, that's terrible. I am divorced with 2 grown daughters who despise each other and have vowed never to associate with each other again. Therefore, I cannot look forward to our family outings or get-togethers. I am forced to choose who to be with for each occasion. I recently bought a t-shirt that says, "In memory of when I cared." When strangers see it, they laugh and say, "I truly can't mean that," but they are wrong. When I tell them this is how I truly feel, they say they will pray for me. I understand why they feel compelled to say that, but I don't want anyone praying for me unless they pray for my death. How should I handle this? Contented with diagnosis. Oof. I mean, my response is contented. You sound depressed and understandably so. But again, maybe I think some counseling or mental health services might help you. You've been given a very hard lot in life. Your daughters sound like they're not making anything easier. But I would look to get some help. Not that you shouldn't be realistic about your fate, but this sort of overt nihilism is I would say a little unusual. So I think you could probably benefit from some help. Dear Contented, I'm sorry for your diagnosis and for the fact that your daughters cannot get along, even to give you comfort as your end approaches. That said, when someone wears a t-shirt with a message on it, it usually invites questions. In your case, a logical question would be, cared about what? The shirt said, in memory of when I cared. When you respond that you are no longer care about living, the person will feel uncomfortable in trying to say something positive. Yes, of course. Unless you want to invite a long discussion, handle it by saying thank you. Wow. I mean, I feel like that's a real blow you off sort of response there, Abby. Clearly this person is like depressed, and again, understandably so. The t-shirt thing feels like a cry for help for me, and honestly this letter kind of is too. I think she was hoping for maybe a little more positive. I don't know, Abby can be a real jerk. a real jerk. Okay, I said no more, but this one, the title was interesting to me. Local customs in China are at odds with teachers' ethics. Oh boy. Dear Todd, I have a problem and no clue how to solve it. I teach an international primary school in China and was approached by the father of one of my students. I had given her a C in the class. Okay, why are you giving her, primary school is elementary school. Her father, me, wanted her to change the grade to an A. He felt that a C was too low a mark, even though I explained it was what she deserved. While parents complaining about their children's marks is not uncommon, he offered me about $1,000 in local currency if I would change it. When I spoke about it to another teacher who has been here longer, he told me that bribery is very common in Asia. He did not mention whether he had ever accepted gifts like this. What should I do? Accepting and not accepting this gift both have consequences. I mean, my response first, what is the consequence of not accepting it? Just being ostracized in the community? If you don't want to take a bribe, don't take a bribe. Unless you fear for your safety. I don't know why you would, even given us any indication of that. I mean, I would say it's not okay to take the bribe, but yeah, just say, I'm sorry, I can't accept this gift. I'd be happy to tutor your child, or if you don't want to, here are some ways your child could improve their marks, as you would say. But yeah, there's no, again, unless there's some cultural situation I'm not aware of, there's no, and this is not a Chinese thing, this is clearly like bad behavior that's been rewarded in the past. Let's see what Abby has to say. I'm sure it's terrible. Dear teacher, there's tremendous pressure on students in China to excel, yeah, along with the rest of the world. What you have described may be common practice there, but it doesn't mean you must do it. If you accept the bribe, you will not only have violated your own principles, but you also make yourself vulnerable to blackmail in the future. Discuss with the principal or the director of the primary school, because if the school turns out incompetent graduates, eventually its reputation will suffer. Yeah, who cares about that? All right, and that's Dear Todd for this evening. Yeah, I'm clocking in around 30 minutes, so I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Todd Talks. Again, happy holidays. I'm sure we'll speak again before the winter holidays, but have a wonderful Thanksgiving with you and your family. Maybe we'll talk right after Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy the family time. If you eat turkey, enjoy the turkey. I do not. And there's a lot of movies out, so if you have kids and want to go see a movie, you should check out some of the family-friendly fair. And this has been Todd Talks. I will chat at you next time. I'll let you boy.
See ya. Peace.